You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
It's time for 5 on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got 5 on.
They're questions. They're on our mind. It is 5 on it. We stay mostly baseball.
Number one. Which feat do you find to be more impressive? Pete Crow Armstrong becoming the first player in MLB history to hit 25 home runs, steal 25 bases, and drive in 70 RBI before the All-Star break? Or PCA joining Seattle slugger Cal Raleigh and Bronx bomber Aaron Judge in having the most multi-homer games this season?
Okay, this is one of those where, also, shout out to Chris Kampka on the stats, right? We love Chris Kampka.
Yeah, he put out the initially what, a couple of these stats, yeah. A lot of history from PCA yesterday.
Indeed. Noted wrestling fan and sports stats fan, Chris Kampka. I thought about this, and I know we were talking in our pre-show meeting about how I had to read that stat about PCA with the 70 games over and over and over again, or the 70 RBIs over and over and over again.
Right.
But Major League Baseball is encouraging more stealing. We're seeing it. It's enjoyable. You know, they made the size of the bases bigger to be able to do so. The pitch clock helps with that as well. So as impressive as that is, and for it's how many times I had to convince myself that that was true, I think it's the Cal Raleigh and Aaron Judge stat. Because those are your two best hitters in baseball right now, other than Shohei Ohtani. So when you consider that piece of it, that is elite company to be in. The home run is the currency in baseball. It matters still the most. That's how you're going to win games. That's how you're going to lose them. So for me, it's the multi-homer games.
This is a tough one. I'm going to go with the thing that's never happened before. The 25-25-70, just because it's never happened before, but it is close. I think the long ball is the sexiest aspect of any singular event that can happen over the course of just a game.
Go get it, baby.
It's the long ball. And I'm talking about any sport, by the way.
I don't know, man. You give me like a really kick-ass strikeout.
Ooh. Yeah, strikeouts happen all the time.
Nah, bow chicka bow.
They're very common. Like a bicycle kick. For instance, in soccer, like I get hyped when I see a nice cross into a bicycle kick. But like to see a dunk, even people get dunked on all the time, right? A goal in hockey, they can be pretty. Everybody likes a nice deke.
The drag. A
one-timer. I mean, the deflection. I mean, these things happen commonly. But to be able to have the prowess to hit a bomb and still a bag every day you head to the field and see your name in the lineup, that's pretty special. That's why what Shohei did when he didn't have to pitch last year, I was like, I don't think he'll ever do that again because he's going to be pitching in the future. But dang, him as just an offensive player is remarkable. to your point about how, whether it's the pitch clock, whether it's the rules on throwing to first base to check a runner, have changed and made maybe stealing bases a little easier, you still got to get out there and do it. I see guys get thrown out all the time.
By the way, Aaron Judge's average still
in the 360s, right?
356.
Oh no, it's below three. It's, I told you, it's coming down.
It's 356.
But what's his average in the month of July?
I don't have the splits in front of me immediately. Oh,
okay.
Like
that. Well, I'm just like, I believe he's coming back down to earth, and there will be room for Cal Raleigh perhaps to overtake him. And the odds are very different now than when I said take Cal Raleigh to win the MVP. They're very different now. But as far as which one's more impressive, to me, it's the 25-25-70 for that reason. Also, the Shohei Ohtani thing, or not Shohei Ohtani. Did I say Shohei Ohtani?
I mean, Shohei Ohtani can hit. When you look at the home runs, it's Cal Raleigh, Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani, Kyle Schwarber, and Eugenio Suarez, and then PCA and Seiya Suzuki.
I said Shohei Ohtani. What I meant was the Aaron Judge thing we were talking about, because I'm always keeping an eye on what's he doing, and mm-hmm. how long is he doing it.
Mm-hmm.
In the month of July, he's only batting 375.
Only.
He's got an 844 slug in the month of July.
Only.
An OPS of 1.344. Now, understand, his 844 slug, that would be a good OPS for almost all players.
Oh, 100% it would be.
That's what he slugs.
People aren't real.
Number two.
What does the minimum return need to be for the Cubs in a deal in which Owen Casey is traded away?
An ace with multiple years of control. Basically a unicorn. That's where I'm at.
Okay, let's whiteboard this. Ace, multiple years of control. Okay, first question. Define ace. That person starts game blank or higher in a playoff series. On this Cubs team. It's got to be a number two starter.
Two or higher.
Okay. Multiple years control. Two good enough? Or you're saying just beyond this season is not a rental?
Oh, no. I'm not talking about a year and a half.
Okay. So 2.5 years minimum control.
Basically, I'm saying like 2022 Sandy Alcantara is my baseline for an Owen Casey trade. Am I prospect hoarding a bit? Perhaps, but you done dealt Cam Smith already.
How's that?
Whose baseball savant page I keep checking.
Is he still better than Matt Shaw as a hitter?
It was
a rhetorical question.
Yeah.
Exercising for the people listening.
Yes.
So I'm with Layla on this, actually. If you're gonna give up Owen Casey, who, by the way, can I tell you about his last seven games? Is that okay if I do that?
Please.
Over Owen Casey's last seven games, he has had 34 plate appearances. He has scored 14 runs. He has 13 hits, 2 doubles, no triples, 7 bombs in his last 7 games. He's driven in 9. He's walked 5 times, struck out 6 times. You know how we were just talking about OPSs and on bases and sluggings?
Go on.
In those 7 games, slash line, batting .448.
Woo!
On base of .529. He's slugging 1.241. Slugging. His OPS over the last 7 games, 1.771. Get that man up here.
Let's get it.
Get that man a bat.
Get him up here.
In the same vein of Avengers Infinity War, when Black Panther, the late great Chadwick Boseman, says, "Get this man a shield." I look at Owen Casey, I say, "Get that man a bat."
I'm not ready for that.
So I want to go in the mind of like Jed Hoyer, like Hoyer really quick. Like the only reason I would trade Owen Casey if I know Kyle Tucker is coming back. That's the only way I'm trading him. Because if Kyle Tucker leaves this year and you don't have Owen Casey to step up next year, that would be a disaster situation.
No, I disagree. And let's talk about why I disagree. If Kyle Tucker doesn't come back but the Cubs win the World Series, you still feel that way?
No, 100%. That is the case. Like a World Series is a World Series. History is forever. But if you don't and you give up Owen Casey in the hunt to go for it.
What if you get to the World Series?
I mean, you still... I'm
trying to see where you're... I want to know what the boundary is.
I mean, that's it. I think it's an excellent question because it's basically like, how much do you want this?
Yeah, and my argument against what you're saying right now, and I understand why you're saying what you're saying about can't give up Owen Casey if Kyle Tucker's not coming back. They would still have money to spend to replenish those positions. Maybe you just get Eugenio Suarez, who will be a free agent at the end of the year, to come play third base for the next couple of years.
Well, let's also take you back to say, you know how Jed was talking about the Justin Verlander trade? Do you know what got the Tigers to trade Justin Verlander, the prospect return?
A bag of balls.
Franklin Perez, Daz Cameron, and Jake Rogers. And the biggest name at the time was Daz Cameron.
The only good one out of that is Jake Rogers, and he's still not great.
I remember Daz Cameron.
We all have prospects that we think are untouchable. I know a lot of yous thought that Matt Shaw was untouchable. There are going to have to be some tough decisions made here.
Number three.
With the Cubs facing off against former Cub Cody Bellinger for the first time this year. Cody Bellinger, once again, he's on the Yankees. Do you still wish he was on the Cubs? Would he have made sense on this roster?
Absolutely not. He makes no sense given how things have played out. Seiya Suzuki's been great, as I've been told by the texters, as the DH.
I mean, his stats have also told us, you know?
Yeah.
And then there's also the games.
Eye test, analytics, however you want to look at it. Seiya Suzuki, his approach has changed. He has been fantastic. He plays DH. Pete Crow Armstrong plays center field. Kyle Tucker, he plays right field. Oh, you're saying Cody Bellinger could play first base? Go look at Cody Bellinger's numbers and compare them to Michael Bush's numbers and tell me who you'd rather have. No.
Yeah, that's the problem. If he's on this team, then you end up putting him at first base. And then that means, where's Michael Bush going? And we thought, okay, I guess that means Michael Bush goes to third. But then panic ensues when you think about what could happen with Michael Bush at third base.
One thing that they have had a sure hand at since Matt Shaw came back up is defense at third base. That has not been an issue. He has made some great plays, actually, at third base. Michael Bush, I thought he could play third base because I know he's played third, second, first base. But then Ron Coomer, former third baseman, who I think a lot of people would believe his words because he sees the games.
We respect the Coom.
Yes. He said he's not a third baseman. You see him take grounders at third and everything else. He's not a third baseman. So Michael Bush is right where he should be. And if you have Cody Bellinger on his roster, maybe Seiya Suzuki does not break out. Maybe, definitely Michael Bush has his growth stunted even further.
Number four.
Five on it continues on Raheemy and Harris with this question. What about the Bears? This week, The Athletic released Kevin Fishbane's annual Bears fan survey. So we're going to go ahead and answer one of the questions, but you should definitely go to The Athletic, take the survey, because we're going to have Kevin Fishbane on the show next week to give the results of the survey. But here's one of these questions. What will help quarterback Caleb Williams the most this season? Option A, Ben Johnson. Option B, improved offensive line. Option C, new weapons like rookie tight end Colson Loveland and rookie receiver Luther Burden III. Or option D, other.
This also helps preview our next segment where we talk about the discussion that the Athletic Football Show had regarding one Caleb Williams and one Ben Johnson. I think B rolls into A here. Improved offensive line rolls into Ben Johnson because Ben Johnson, I think, and Ryan Poles in the first order of business after getting him onto the team and hiring the coaching staff, was improving the offensive line. Needed to happen, had to happen, should have happened yesterday, so to speak. But that folds into Ben Johnson for me. You want to run all these fun plays? You want to do the stumble bum? You want to have some silly fun time out there, or even like run the ball? You know, that would be better. You want to pass protect? You're going to need to have a better O-line. So it's still Ben Johnson for me in that respect. When you hear all the players talk about the details and how if the slightest thing is off pre-snap, they're going to start over again, that's only going to help your rookie quarterback. And if he has to be a stickler for details to that end, to that extent, I am all for it. It all goes back to Ben Johnson for me.
So I'm looking at the options. Ben Johnson, improved offensive line, new weapons like rookie tight end Colson Loveland and rookie receiver Luther Burden III, and D is other. I want to say like E, all of the above, because they even if Ben Johnson's great with Caleb Johnson, if that offensive line is not improved, I got questions. I don't know that Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams could do it without the improved offensive line. The new weapons, Colson Loveland is looking like he's going to be a major part of whatever Ben Johnson's plan is with this offense, whether it comes down to scheming, playmaking, what you do after the catch. And Luther Burden III, I'm still not sure how he fits in specifically, but in Ben Johnson we trust, right?
Slot. That's what he did at Missouri, right?
So what does a standard alignment look like? Who's on the field? What personnel are they using?
Well, I think they want to use a lot of two tight end set, right? Isn't that the idea? So that if that's the case, you've got Loveland, you've got Cole Kmet. But yeah, that's where the receiver combination of this, we're trying to figure it out.
Yeah, because, you know,
DJ Moore is going to be on the field, I think, almost every offensive snap, I would assume.
So then Rome Odunze is not on the field? You see what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, no, this has been my whole issue. This is why I'm Gary Gaines in front of the whiteboard.
Because if you have a running back, now if you're going empty, you could do what you just said. You can have two.
On no mother effing plans am I going empty.
But you see what I'm saying?
Not with these dudes and a rookie and a second year now quarterback. That was a visceral reaction.
You can't have three wide receivers.
Swore.
You can't have three wide receivers, yes. Two tight ends, and a running back on the field at the same time unless you're running Wildcat. And last time I checked, Caleb Williams is the quarterback.
Or my favorite high school football team, spread offense. That's pretty much what I feel like. Yeah, unless you're running like the straight spread, that's the only way this makes sense. Air raid, baby!
So you see what I'm asking? But the answer to the question is E, all of the above. But heavy on the Ben Johnson. Heavy on the Ben. Of all the people that are listed on this thing, Ben Johnson's getting paid the most money. Ben Johnson's in charge. It's on Ben Johnson.
So... This is a loaded question. It's a lot. What is the ceiling for Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson's first year? What is that ceiling?
Ceiling?
Super Bowl? All pro? What?
Hold on. Aaron Rodgers with the Steelers and Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson's ceilings are both Super Bowl?
Oh, my God. Steelers-Bears Super Bowl? Ooh. That's what Marshall just said. Steelers-Bears.
You asked what the ceiling is.
Ray laughed so hard he turned his microphone
when
off.
You say ceiling, that it means what is the ultimate like finish? How good could they be?
Well, that says a lot about Caleb Williams. What do you think about Caleb Williams? You think he could be great if he could win a Super Bowl? And
he's
be an MVP?
He's a 1-1. You bet we're saying that.
No, that's
you
a good
better
thing.
Hope that's the case.
I don't expect that to happen in year one of Ben Johnson's offense. I do not expect that. But if everything does click in the right way and they could do it before the halfway point in the season, there's no reason the Bears cannot win the NFC. The NFC.
Robbie, mark that down. Cut that. Wait, I'm
Robbie. No, but listen what I'm saying. You just asked what the ceiling is. You didn't ask me the floor. I can tell you what the floor is also.
Yeah, we just saw the floor last year.
Exactly. So you think you don't know how bad it can get. You don't know how bad it can get. All I'm saying is Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams, that's supposed to be this match made in heaven, and they're going to get the most out of a number one overall pick. If you're getting the best out of a number one overall pick isn't a ceiling of Super Bowl, what are you doing? Maybe you need to get another quarterback in here.
Oh, my God.
Number five.
So
that's going to be taking some places.
Yeah, no, I'm. I've already clipped it. It's already in the system. Don't you worry. I already clipped that. Speaking of clips, dropped their new album.
Oh,
today.
I see you there.
Wasn't that pretty good, right there? This is their first time dropping an album together since 2009. And just to behind the scene things, Pusha T is my favorite hip hop artist. I love Pusha T very much. But here's the question. Fifth question is always a life question. Fill in the blank. I would be most excited if blank announced they're releasing an album. Who is that artist for you?
Me and you, your mama and your cousins too. Rolling down the strip on four, coming up slamming Cadillac doors.
I put clips in the background too.
Yeah, so yeah, it's Outkast. It's Outkast.
The reviews on the Clips album per the internet seem pretty good.
I have not gotten to it yet.
I'm
too busy preparing for this program that we do every day.
Yeah, first two songs I didn't even have time. I did not even have time. Yeah, Outkast is up there for me. Unfortunately, the one that I think I would have wanted to hear based on musical talent is no longer with us.
Who's that?
Man, I would have loved Amy Winehouse to have another album.
Oh, okay.
Great pick.
Like that, if we're talking like completely theoretical, that would have been one that I would have loved to have seen.
But yeah, Outkast for me is like Outkast was my vibe.
They were one of the most disruptive groups, like just combinations when they came out, like nothing sounded like them.
They did whatever they wanted and nobody stopped them.
No, and I'm pretty sure the way they influenced hip hop and music as a whole after that. And didn't Pearl Jam just have a retirement, by the way?
Wait, Pearl Jam's retiring?
No. They had a musician in their band retire.
I'd be like, oh, Grody's going to be very upset.
No.
Mine would be Daft Punk. Even though they did retire, Daft Punk, if they put out another album, life would be really, really good. Also, I saw Outkast Alive in 2014. I was 18. I wish I was older. I would have respected it a lot more.
Yeah, Matt Cameron, the drummer, announced that he was leaving the band after nearly 30 years.
My answer would be Rage Against the Machine, baby.
Okay.
I would love to hear a new Rage Against the Machine album in the year of 2025.
Did you know that some of the stuff they say it can be deemed as political? Did you understand that?
Oh, my goodness. Marshall, what are you talking about?
What is the machine we talk about here?
And I thought I only listened for the music and not the lyrics.
And that's when I think it is a friendly time to remind people, what machine exactly did you think they were raging against?
Oh, Matt Cameron, the drummer. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Okay,
earlier.
My bad. I was like,
machine.
I think I misheard what you said, and I was like, wait, I don't know. Okay, and then
Rage Against the Sack Machine.
Rage Against the Sack Machine.
That's the Bears offensive line.
It really is. It really
Brian
is.
Urlacher.
It is Rage Against the Sack Machine.
Yeah, I think that's what the offensive line is trying to do for the Bears.
Perhaps.
I at least hope so.
To get to that ceiling, they'll need to do more of that.
Yes, they will. More Bears talk on The Score is next, because the Athletic Football Show talked about storylines that either fans, the media, or all of the above need to believe. They focused on the Bears as well, so we'll examine next on The Score.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Opening day.
At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You're listening to Raheem and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score. We broadcast live from The Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers.
Happy Friday. Happy Friday. Happy Friday.
I love this for you.
I love this for us.
Yeah, I feel it. If you're paying attention, you might hear a little Easter egg throughout the rest of the show. We like to bury them every now and then. I feel like that's the right thing to do.
Speaking of Easter eggs, there were so many yesterday. I went and saw Superman.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you.
Certified bop. Certified banger. This movie is going to do the things that box office movies are supposed to do.
Would you say that we have a box office summer hit on our hands?
We have a bona fide hit on our hands.
Now we need a song of the summer, right? Don't people usually ask for one of those?
Do they ask for them, or is it just kind of happen organically?
I don't know. Typically, prior to this year, I feel like society is like, but do we have a song of the summer?
I feel like we get to August, and by then a summer has subliminally been selected for all of us. And we're just, oh, I guess that's the song of the summer because I hear it everywhere I go.
But I don't know what it is. So if somebody could chip in a thought or two, I would appreciate the conversation. In the meantime, conversation being had as we lead up to training camp, and we have a few more days to talk about lists, for example, as we discussed the storylines that you see before training camp begins. And our friends, Robert Mays and Derek Klassen on the Athletic Football Show, have a podcast that was just released talking about not just the lies NFL teams are telling themselves, and they determined whether or not it was a truth or a lie, you know, a la Maury Povich type of thing, but also just the narrative and the story and the headline that needs to happen for certain teams. I don't think there's any doubt that the headline that needs to happen for the Bears is what they address to in the conversation of Ben Johnson needs to unlock Caleb Williams. Like that, yes, that needs to happen.
When you say unlock Caleb Williams, isn't he already, it's not like he's in a box and has no,
Yeah, we saw him do what he can do late in games, late in the season. Like he did a lot of unlocking himself.
So Caleb Magic was out there in glimpses, but you want to see the full thing. You want to see him ascend to his full powers.
Yes. Like if the ceiling is truly the Super Bowl, like you said, as it should be with elite talent, then that goal at least, you know, aim for the stars and you'll hit the moon type of concept needs to happen.
I'm imagining him just because we were just talking about Superman as like in this kind of really not, I wouldn't call it like puberty, but like you're getting used to like everything around you and he's gotten used to stuff, but maybe he doesn't know how to use all his superpowers yet to the best. Like maybe he doesn't have the heat vision just yet.
Right.
Like he could see through things sometimes. The x-ray vision is not always there at his access.
You're still honing your powers.
Definitely can't fly yet. He could take big bounds, like leaping tall buildings in a single bound. He can do that, but he can't fly yet.
I could tell you watch that Superman.
I mean, he said he was going to. He was like, I'm going to get the matinee rate at the movie theater. He was very excited.
Hey, man. I love a value. What can I say?
Who doesn't? So, that said, the Athletic Football Show also examined this, and I know Robert Mays is going to be on with us on Monday, correct? And I'll be calling the Sky game, so I'm looking forward to hearing that while I do my show prep. But at the same time, they talked about it as far as figuring out maybe is there an archetype or is there a good example that happened already in the NFL when it came to a coach unlocking a quarterback. They talked about the 2017 season, so the second year of Jared Goff, when he met up and paired with Sean McVay.
I think obviously the corollary everyone's going to go back to is Sean McVay stepping into the Rams for Jared Goff and stuff like that. And that one's a funny one because I don't think it, there's a very low chance it looks that good right away, right? Like Caleb Williams is super talented and Ben Johnson's a great play caller, but that was like a truly special one-year transformation. We just don't see a lot of those.
It was also just a type of offense that caught people off guard. Yes. Like, I just don't think anybody was ready for how to combat that. So even if I think Ben Johnson could put a sound, capable system together, I don't think he's going to like revolutionize offensive football in the NFL in a single offseason. So I don't think it's going to be quite the force of nature that those 2017 Rams felt like early on.
That's such a good point, because I remember writing, even when he took the job with the Rams and looking back at some of McVay's stuff with Washington, I was like, nobody's really doing tight formation stuff from under center the way that they are. And obviously that was only part of why they were good, but Ben Johnson doesn't necessarily have like a thing that's on the forefront like that. He's just a really good play caller and pieces things together well and understands what he wants out of his offensive line. The flip side of why you can sell me on why it might look that good is I do think a lot of what Caleb Williams showed, even though there was inconsistencies and a lot of bad habits, was way better than what Jared Goff showed as a rookie. Like Jared Goff looked like legitimately unplayable. Caleb Williams looked bad with nice flashes. And so that I do think gives you some degree of hope. Again, why you can start to buy into this. Offensive line's going to be better. We know Ben Johnson is going to use his players better, specifically the receivers, than we saw last year. And I think that's going to go a long way. So this is definitely one where they're telling themselves a story, but I'm telling it to myself and I'm kind of buying it.
I don't know if I would go so far as to say bad with nice flashes, but I also don't know how you describe 68 sacks in other ways.
68 is bad.
And a lot of them were on QB1.
Yes, get rid of the ball quickly. I think that's going to be the number one lesson he learns from Ben Johnson. It's going to be stamped into his brain. Get rid of the ball on time.
The other part of it, too, though, is the pedigree. Like, yes, we talked a lot about Goff, but we were saying, Even prior to Goff getting into the NFL, Caleb Williams had a higher pedigree because of the awards that he had won.
Yes, but when you look at when they were taken in the draft, I mean, the expectations were there from the teams that took them, right? And one guy couldn't get it done in his first setting, but certainly looked great in his second setting. And sometimes, and we hope this is not the case with Caleb Williams, you need a change of scenery. Although I guess that's what he's essentially getting in-house.
It came to him.
Yeah, it came to him. The change came to him. I like this idea that all this pressure is being put on Ben Johnson, but that's not how I see it. All the pressure is on Caleb Williams. Ben Johnson has a proven track record.
And I do think that when the Bears talk about accountability, they also mean the quarterback. It's not just all the individual players. There's a responsibility there.
So when you say it starts at the top with the head coach, next up on my list is the leader of the team. And the leader of an offense is going to be the quarterback by default because that's what the position requires.
Yeah.
So, yes, Caleb Williams has got to be that guy as we talk about what happened and what was said on the Athletic Football Show with Robert Mays and Derek Klassen.
And I appreciate them talking about this. They go over a lot of scenarios for other NFL teams. They also mention the Jaguars. And I think as much as you are concerned about needing to get it right here, Caleb Williams is still on his rookie deal. Not the case in Jacksonville. Like, they need that to work even more so because of the deal that was given to Trevor Lawrence. So keep that in mind, too. Even though we are under a lot of sense of urgency as a fan base, we are under a lot of pressure to see this work. The Bears are under pressure. There are scenarios in the NFL where you could say it's worse.
Yes, but at the same time, what I like about this hiring cycle and getting a new coaching staff and understanding what's on the team as far as our roster standpoint, Layla, is this simple fact that it might be different in different places, but that's not changing what the expectations are at Hallis Hall this year.
No. Let's listen to another clip from the Athletic Football Show. Derek Klassen asking Robert Mays, noted Bears fan, what could go wrong with the Bears offense?
What would be the reason that makes you think it wouldn't go right this year for this collection of players and coaches?
It's a great question. I think more inconsistency at left tackle than you want. Like, let's say Braxton Jones isn't ready. You're starting Tripillo at left tackle from the start of the season. He's a second round pick. We know that that can go awry. I actually do have some faith in Ben Johnson being able to protect one single offensive lineman if there is one weak link. But that is the personnel thing that I would be worried about the most. We'll see what happens with the receivers. Like, I think I have a lot of hope for Rome Odunze, but is there a chance that Rome Odunze's struggles last year were about more than the offensive situation? I think it's really hard to get a feel about a receiver when they're in that sort of situation, because think about how many uncatchable targets went Rome Odunze's way. Like, it's hard to even understand what he was as a rookie. So I think the uncertainty around that is probably the other personnel thing that I would mention. And the last one is just the transition from being a specific offensive coordinator to being a play calling head coach. There are just so many more things on your plate. The hand he's going to have and how the offense is designed, how the offense is constructed, where he can spend his time in meetings. We've just seen this happen before, where guys who had what felt like a magic touch as coordinators, as their scope grows, they can't find it again. And I'm not saying he's going to be a bad play caller in almost any of these scenarios, but even if he's 75% as good as he was in Detroit, does that lead to an outcome where we're a little bit underwhelmed by this?
So this was something we listened to together as a show in our pre-show meeting.
As a family.
I certainly think that when it comes to left tackle, that could spiral out of control very quickly.
It better not.
Even if Braxton Jones is just more injured than we understand. When you break bones, things don't always heal the way you want them to.
Layla, if Braxton Jones isn't ready to go, and you've gone out and you've got a first round pick at your right tackle, and you've got three very experienced, very accomplished players in the middle, you're telling me a second round pick can't hold down the fort at left tackle? Last I checked, a second round pick is supposed to be able to slot in and start.
Well, you know how I feel about third round picks who can't even see the field, and we're talking about how it's a make or break year for them.
So my point stands then, correct?
It does indeed. But I've always been concerned about the drafting part of this team.
Yeah, they're questionable decisions and whether or not they know what they're evaluating.
But a lot of people who need some of these stories to be true, we're still in the evaluation stage whether or not anybody wants to admit it.
Hmm. Well, we'll continue to evaluate, because guess what? Training camp's right around the corner.
Well, and I look forward to how you guys talk about this with Robert Mays on Monday, and then we'll reassess the next. But if we're looking at it that way, and we're thinking about it, and they're thinking about it, then you know the Bears are thinking about it, of course.
But they're the ones who made the decision to get us here. That's my point.
Yes. So while I sit in that uncomfortable space... Let's get back to some baseball talk. Bruce Levine, our noted baseball man of the score, along with Matt Spiegel, they host the weekend shows that you want to hear. Bruce reporting everywhere, and he will do so, giving us his latest findings, and we'll talk trade deadline too with him next on the score.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And you damn well better believe that I am extremely excited to see some of the guys coming back and revisiting that that event that we had 20 years ago. The team was great. The guys were even better. And the accomplishment that we achieved together is what we love celebrating. And it conjures up so many good memories, both on and off the field, if you know what I mean. But it's going to be a really good time.
That was, of course, the former White Sox, Jeff Blum, excited about what is happening this weekend at Raitt Field. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score, and we go live to our Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. That is where we are joined by our friend Bruce Levine. Bruce, the 670 The Score baseball reporter. You know him from Inside the Clubhouse, which will air on Saturday morning, 9 a.m. to 11:30, right before the Cubs and Yankees on 670 The Score and the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, Layla. Hey, Marshall. How are you guys doing today?
We're good. We're just trying to figure out what's going on. Obviously, a doubleheader today down there on the south side. I'm just curious, Bruce, how yesterday's rainout is affecting all of the celebration and, of course, the memories of the World Series team.
Yeah, there's the statue celebration for Mark Burley. It's going to be at 5:30 today. And, you know, it's kind of moved some things around. But Burley will talk to the media before and then after words up in the press box to talk about, you know, his emotions from seeing the unveiling and, you know, just the beginning of a very great weekend for White Sox fans to remember 20 years ago.
Yeah, Bruce, I think that's what we want to get into with you first is the events that take place over this time, the ability to remember that 2005 team. Of course, I know Bobby Jenks is going to be on a lot of people's minds as well, but how do you anticipate this weekend unfolding when it comes to celebrating this team?
Well, it's going to be tempered a little bit with the loss of Jenks, but nonetheless, it'll be a celebration of something special that hadn't happened for 88 years on the south side of Chicago. And, you know, it was a magical year from the very beginning on. A lot of credit certainly will go to Kenny Williams, who was the architect of that team, the general manager of the team, who a year before hired Ozzie Guillen, and then they started putting together a template that was so different from what they had, you know, moving guys like Ordonez and Carlos Lee and Jose Valentin at the suggestion of Ozzie to get different types of players in there, guys that could play better defense, that were more team-oriented, that could run a little bit. So they got all of that, and, you know, we saw that formation in 2005 with the championship and the great run that they had. I think people forget most about the fact that their lead shrunk to a game and a half So at one point, their lead was almost, I think, 14 or 15 games, and it shrunk to a game and a half. The then Indians, now the Guardians, were climbing up the ladder and getting near them. And the White Sox turned everything around, clinched in Detroit, the division, and then it was pretty smooth sailing from there. Even though a lot of close games in the playoffs, you know, the 11-1 run, is something really special to remember. The great pitching, the great defense, the unexpected home runs in the World Series from unlikely guys like Blum and Petsednik, and you know, the grand slam from Konerko in Game Two. So, just an awful lot to remember, and just a very blue collar team. You know, they had stars. Burley was a star. Konerko was a star. Dye to a certain extent, but it was a very blue-collar, you know, grab the lunch bucket and go to work every day team. I think it really fit the White Sox, you know, fan base very well.
Big four-game sit on the south side with the Guardians for the White Sox. Meanwhile, the Cubs, a lot has been made, Bruce, of their struggles on the road in their last few series. I don't see it because I look at the Cubs and say, there's only six teams who are playing above 500 baseball on the road, and there's only one team that's more than three games over 500 on the road, which the Cubs are, and that's the Tigers. Are people making too much of their struggles away from home as opposed to what's happening at Wrigley?
Well, Marshall, I think you bring up a really good point, and that is, look at baseball now this year. You pointed out the metrics on teams playing over 500. The Cubs are a really good team. Now, are they a great team? Are they a team that's going to walk away with their division? I think that's been predicted a number of times, Mark Grody.
drop his name.
But it's going to be much tougher than that. The Milwaukee Brewers, they are no joke. Okay, they're a very serious team with the ability to have the best rotation in the division. So from that perspective, you know, getting Woodruff back, you know, having, you know, the young pitcher pitching so well, having Peralta, the veteran, that's a good team. You're going to have to deal with that. Cincinnati's not necessarily going away. St. Louis, you know, I think we've seen the Cardinals. We know that's maybe a 500 team. I don't think any better. But nonetheless, the Cubs should get their due for having been a good team. I think the idea that people want them to just walk away with a 10 game division lead and just go sailing into the playoffs, I think it's a little naive. It's too difficult. 162 games, the pitching, the bullpen pitching has been so magnificent. You cannot guarantee that that's going to continue. You hope that they solidify a little of that as well as the starting rotation here before the trading deadline on July 31st.
We're talking to Bruce Levine, the 670 baseball reporter on both sides of town, covering the Sox this weekend and then also keeping up with any potential moves for the Cubs. And I know, Bruce, you knew the Cubs were going to be buyers at the trade deadline. We expected some moves to happen before then. The amount of teams that think they're still in contention for a playoff, I think, factors into this. But where are you at when it comes to trying to figure out what the Cubs can do as we get closer to the trade deadline?
Well, I mean, they can do a number of things. They have good minor league players to trade. Owen Casey is, you know, tearing it up at Triple-A. There are going to be a lot of teams interested. There's really no room for him right now. Now, if Tucker is not signed and he's signed somewhere else, there would be some room for him next year. But nonetheless, people are going to be asking for him. They're going to be asking for Ben Brown. They're going to be asking for Ballesteros. So there's viable guys that the Cubs can trade in moves that they need to make. The question is, what is the most important thing? Is it a starting pitcher? What is the quality of the starting pitcher? Okay, is he going to be a 3 or a 4? Are there any 1s or 2s available out there? I don't think so. I mean, if you look at the way that Alcantara is pitching right now, that's a real gamble, okay? He's not back to being the pitcher that he was when 2 years ago he was a Cy Young Award winner. That's not who you're seeing right now. You have 2 more years of contract control for him, so you need to be right. So if you're giving up, you know, inventory in your system and you're trying to augment an already good baseball team, it's important to get a number 1 or 2 or is another three or four going to be really helps you? You know, is are we going to get contributions from Brown and Wicks to go along with the starting pitcher that you bring in? Those are the things you have to ask. And then the other part is you're going to need a third baseman, first baseman. You're going to need a right-handed hitter. The bench really hasn't supplied much offense. They haven't been out there very much. But, you know, the way that Matt Shaw is going right now, you're going to have to solidify that position with a veteran in a trade. So how much inventory do you have to trade for, both a pitcher, a third baseman of sorts, and then, of course, you want to get another bullpen guy? I think the Cubs want to be greedy. I think the fan base wants them to be greedy because it's not – you guys correct me if I'm wrong. It's not a team that's looking to just get in the playoffs. I think it's a team that's looking for a World Series run.
Yeah.
They have to, right? I mean, based on the move for Kyle Tucker alone and the time you know you're guaranteed to have him, they have to.
Right. So, I mean, again, you know, I'll ask you both this. Is it Alcantara, you're going to gamble on him being back to form? Or do you continue the Mitch Keller route of, yeah, he's a number three. He's a good number three to go along with maybe three or four of your own pitchers that are number threes. You just fortify that position.
All I know is a bunch of number threes are not going to get you the World Series title, Bruce. I'm confident in that. You can't get through the number of playoff series they need to get to with a bunch of threes and maybe a two.
But I'm with you, Bruce, on the fact that the price might be so high that you're not going to get even the return you ideally want. Like, I've talked about guys like Andrew Heaney because I want to make sure you get there, too. You know, and that's the rub in this.
There's a two – Marshall's train of thinking is really smart, okay? You want to guarantee yourself an ace on the mound in the playoffs that can dominate. How many teams have that?
You look at
the Dodgers right now, and with all the injuries they've had, they're basically outslugging people, playing great defense, getting enough pitching, and winning their division. There's that other theory of, hey, if you get in and you've been a good team all year, there's a good chance you can be the team that goes to the World Series. But as far as guarantees go, I don't know if there are any trades that are going to bring you a guarantee at this point.
Write this down, Bruce. If they don't get that ace guy, somebody as a two or higher, you will see an opener from Craig Counsell in the playoffs. Write that down.
That'd be great. You know, you want to, Marshall, just tell us who it's going to be.
I can't tell you that much.
It might be the guy who's opening today and Chris Flexen. You never know.
Yeah, but again, you know, the contributions, the one thing I encourage fans to do right now, just enjoy this team. It's been such a fun team to watch. You know, I mean, they do so many things well. I, as a reporter, you know, you go out there every day, you look for the best stories so you can inform people, but you kind of have to enjoy it too. They really played the game well.
Yeah, celebrate the wins while we can. Bruce, we appreciate it, and we look forward to your reports from the South Side on a very special weekend as well.
Thanks, Bruce.
All right. Take care. Have a good day.
That was Bruce Levine. I know you will hear more from him, especially tomorrow morning on Inside the Clubhouse. Of course, Inside the Clubhouse is on Saturday morning, getting you ready for another Cubs and Yankees game. It's going to be 9 to 11:30 right here before the Cubs and Yankees on the Odyssey and the iHeartRadio apps. We continue our stalking segment, and we keep it Southside related. Somebody's got a deal for Adrian Hauser.
Yeah, and it's a pretty cheap contract if you can get it.
So we will examine the benefits of taking advantage of a guy who is doing some excellent, excellent things right now. That's next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.